16 minutes after 3 o'clock, it is your Wednesday Downtown Live at Seasons Main Street in Bangor. What you want, baby, I got. Rich Kimble here along with Ryan Wehning. Our next guest on Downtown was friends with boxing legend Muhammad Ali for more than four decades. He's written a book about his time with the champ called Running with the Champ. Tim Shanahan joining us here on Downtown. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rich. It's my pleasure. Hey, I heard in Maine that you are the greatest radio talk show host of all times.
Oh, well, you heard correct. Who am I to argue with that?
Yes.
That was awesome. Let's talk about, first, how you met Muhammad Ali. If I've got the story right, you were actually recruiting him to do some charity work with some challenged young people. And were you a little bit surprised at his willingness to help out with this?
I know what you mean. How did this Irish Catholic white boy from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, meet a black Muslim who was the most famous face on the planet, and they became friends? Well, Muhammad has a simple explanation. I had to be a N-word in my previous life. And he always said, you know, you and I are really similar. You can be serious when you have to be, but then you can play a fool like me. And he said, remember, a wise man can always play a fool, but a fool can never play a wise man. But so when we met, it was at representing a nonprofit organization called Athletes for Better Education, and we are helping low-income area athletes in high school stay in school by hiring tutors to tutor them. So every month we'd have an awards dinner for the kids who got their grades up, and we had a guest speaker. It was usually a professional athlete or a celebrity, and my good friend who was Muhammad Ali's personal physician, his name is Dr. Charles Williams, said, well, you should get Muhammad Ali to speak at one of your benefits. I said, if you can do that, we'll do it. So he got Muhammad to come in and speak at the benefit dinner 1 month, and I picked him up at his house, drove him to the dinner, magnificent speech that he made. I mean, it was, I think, the most dramatic speech I've heard him say, but it was really enthusiastic and inspiring, and after that we became friends.
And that friendship lasted for more than 40 years and included, as alluded to in the title of your book, included a lot of early morning runs. I can't even imagine what that must have been like.
Yeah, I played European pro basketball in Europe, and I worked out every day, and I'm 69, and I ran until I was 67 when I tore my Achilles, so I was in good shape. And one day, Muhammad said, he knew I was in shape, and he knew I was an ex-athlete, and he said, do you want to run with me tomorrow? And I said, do I want to run with you? This was in Chicago. So I said, great. And so the next morning, I got up early, and I got there at 5:30 instead of 6 when he wanted me to pick him up. But he was already, the lights were on, and he was putting his shoes, his Army combat boots, his size 12 and a half Army combat boots, which he wore because Joe Louis did that. He wore army, so his feet were felt lighter when he was training. So the heavy boots said, oh, psychologically, your feet are lighter when you're in the ring, and you can float like a butterfly. So anyway, we got to the point where I knew the protocol. I stayed behind him the whole time and never beside him or never in front of him. I always stayed behind him. But after the first run, he said, well, we got to do this more often. He said, especially in Chicago where I lived, and he trained in Deer Lake. So the running part came in Chicago before going to the training camp in Deer Lake.
Now, being in Muhammad Ali's orbit meant you also got to meet a lot of very famous people, celebrities along the way. But it seems like as impressed as you were with that, it was his interactions with the common people, and especially the kids, that left a real impression on you.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. We went to a school, an elementary school. It was in October and early snow, and we were in his rolls. And he said, "Let's stop at this school and see the kids after the third Norton fight." So he was doing good. He was the heavyweight champion. He just beat Norton and was on TV, and so he wanted to surprise the kids. So he came in and came into the classroom and surprised them, and everybody came running up to the front of the classroom. There was one little girl in her seat. Her name was Drusilla, and the teacher said, oh, she's been a bad girl. She has to stay in her seat, and Muhammad went next to her and sat next to her on the small desk and said, hey, Drusilla, don't you know who I am? I'm Muhammad Ali. I'm the heavyweight champion of the world. Didn't you just see me beat Ken Norton on TV? And she looked up at him and said, man, you're just another N-word trying to get bigger. And he fell off the desk and was laughing like crazy. So that was, every time I called Muhammad, he would say, just another N-word trying to get bigger. He would answer the phone that way to everybody. But he enjoyed that so much. But he really loves people. That's the key. And he wants to help all people. One day I went in, he was up at 5:30, we were run at 6. I said, Muhammad, don't you ever sleep? He said, no, I'm thinking about all the children that go to bed hungry, that are starving. And I know, I believe in miracles. And I know that my fame, God gave me boxing so I could become famous. And he wanted me to use my fame to help all people in the world. And I want to help the starving children that are going to bed at night hungry. And he said, I believe in miracles, and I believe I can do it someday with my fame. So he's always thinking about helping people. And he said, the more we love, the better we are. We become closer to God by helping people.
We're talking with Tim Shanahan. His book is entitled Running with the Champ, My 40-Year Friendship with Muhammad Ali. Now, his desire to help all people, as we learn in the book, also hurt him a little bit financially, because he was helping out lots of members of his extended family, and lots of them took advantage. And as brilliant as Ali was in the ring, financially he had some struggles along the way that most people didn't know about.
Yeah, he loved money. You know why? He loved money so he could give it away. He believed that, like I just said, that God made him famous so he could use his fame to help all people. So when he was making money as a heavyweight champion of the world with all these fights, he knew that God was giving him that ability to have money so he could give it away. So as fast as it came in, he gave it away. One day he told me, you know, a good Jewish lawyer, because he just got scammed. He got $2.2 million for the third Norton fight, and he always wanted to pay his taxes before the fight. So in other words, the pre-fight pay, he wanted that to go to taxes, and so the after-fight pay, $1.1 million, would go to him without taxes. And this guy, who I won't name, actually invested the $1.1 million, lost it, and then had a, you know, struggle to explain it. So anyways, Muhammad forgives everybody. He never holds a grudge. He forgave this guy, and that's why he said, you know, I need some money. I need somebody to handle my finances. You know a good Jewish lawyer? Well, I found him a good Irish lawyer, William Sutter, Bill Sutter, and Mike Finner, and they actually helped him maintain his finances, and were able to get $3.2 million in tax-free bonds and government bonds after 2 years of being with him. So that was my contribution to Muhammad's finances.
Tim, in your many years of being friends with Muhammad Ali, what was something that was perhaps the most surprising to you about him?
You know, everybody that thinks they know him, know him. I mean, I'm just saying, everybody that sees him promoting his fights and how he acted when he was promoting his fights, and then they saw him in an interview, and he's so calm, he's so intuitive, he's so inspiring when his comments, and that's what he was. When he's when he's with me alone or is in his family, he's very introspective, he's very serious, he's thinking all the time about how to help people. I mean, it sounds like something out of a fairy tale, but he really thinks 24 hours a day how to use his fame to help people. So I think the most remarkable thing that I can imagine is that I became friends with him. So that's the first thing. He said, the first words out of his mouth were, Tim, you're like me. You're trying to help people. And I go, wow. Muhammad Ali said, I'm like him. And he said, anytime you need my help, you call me, and I'm there. And that was the second thing. Wow. He said I could call him. So those were inspiring words. And then one day in the kitchen, his kitchen in Woodlawn, on Woodlawn in Hyde Park, he says, Tim, you're trying to help people. You did so good with this Athletes for Better Education. I want you to help me with my World Foundation, World Organization for Rights, Liberty, and Dignity, and I want you to head it. And I did. I said, I can't, Muhammad. I want to maintain our friendship, and I think that this would ruin it if I had to take a paycheck from you. And he said, I want you to do it because I trust you as much as my brother Rahman and Veronica. And when he said that, that was it. That was I could died and went to heaven right there.
Now, you saw this up close and personal. The reaction of people when they met Ali, everybody had the same experience of almost feeling like they were talking to someone otherworldly. What was it about his personality that made the people just be drawn to him? And even when he lost the ability to communicate pretty vocally, he yes. seemed to be able to communicate without even speaking to people.
You know, the reason I'm just going to say it right up, he's so spiritual. He is above us all as far as spirituality. He's into when he wins a fight and he says, "Why? How did you win that fight? God was on my side." He really believes spiritually that God wants him to succeed, and God is using him to spread love and spread as much love as he can through his fame. So he really believes that God gave him the ability to spread love and help as many people as he can in the world. And I think when I see him here, one day I walked in and into a department store that he was, the line of people were in line in front signing autographs, and he was on his podium. And I walked in, and the first thing I thought of was the Pope. It was so spiritual, and I said, man, look at these people. They were like idolizing him. I felt it in the air, the spirituality. So I think, you know, he has the ability of mind over matter. When he wins a fight, he believes God's on his side and he is above it. And so I think that's why people, you know, really relate to him. They feel the presence whenever they're around him. They feel the spiritual presence.
Was it that spirituality that made it possible for him to handle his illness and all the physical challenges with the grace and the sense of humor that apparently he carried right till the end?
Oh, it's beautiful. The reason it was so, it was much easier on his family and friends is the way he handles everything with dignity. He told me, I said, you know, God gave me Parkinson's so I could shut up and become more spiritual. That was his idea about Parkinson's. God tests me every day, and every day I pass that test. And he has this idea that it was given to him because he was so great. God gave him Parkinson's because he was so great, and he can show the world how he handles this disease to make everybody inspired by how he handles it. And it really is. I believe that for sure.
Well, we all feel like we lost somebody we knew with the passing of Muhammad Ali. But for you, our condolences on the loss of a longtime friend. But I'm guessing with someone that much of a personality, larger than life, that he doesn't really go away.
He will live on forever. To me, he's immortal. He's even bigger in death than he is in life. I'll give you one little story. On Tuesday, Layla was contacted. So she they said it's time to round up the kids. So, you know, he's not going to make it this time. So she rounded up all the kids, and on Thursday night, they all got together. That was all six daughters and one son. So they had everybody, seven daughters and one son. I'm sorry, I'm losing track. But they were all around the bed, and Hannah is his special daughter. She has a special relationship with him, and she was holding his hand, and she said, whispered in his ear, Daddy, it's okay. You can leave us now. We'll all be okay. We love you. So they all lined up, and each of them kissed Muhammad on the cheek, and they took him off life support. And for 30 minutes, his heart kept beating, and every beat of his heart, the children had.
That's incredible.
And he And Hanna called me and said, never underestimate the art of a champion.
Absolutely.